Now we get down to the message tonight, and we're continuing on the book of Galatians, and we're looking at Galatians chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 1 through 5 and just preach through this little passage of Scripture and trust to be a blessing to you. I'm so thankful that you're here on a Sunday night. So I was talking to somebody just right before the service. I'd called to check on some things, and I said, well, then they were home because of sickness. And I said, well, there's a lot of people that would love in their flesh to stay home anyways. And so it's very tempting. And my wife told me the other couple weeks ago, she said, well, no offense, but I wish I could just stay home tonight. It's dark. It's cold. Now, if the pastor's wife don't want to come to church, we're in bad shape. I tell you, I don't know how any of you come. If she's married, she's got to come and like what I have to say. But it is, and we're so blessed. All of the people that work on the live stream and the different audio visual aspects do such a phenomenal job. And many of you tell me, Pastor, you look good, better on TV than you do in person. And I don't think that either one is a high ranking, but I understand what they mean. And it's about like tonight could have worked out, but we're selling the popcorn on your way out. We're not selling the popcorn on the way in. You might have felt like, I can just go home, eat popcorn, watch the church service, get up when I want to and all that. But we are so thankful for the technology God has given us, and I refuse to be negative about that. Some people say, well, they ought to be in church. And by and large, we should. None of that is a substitute for being in church, because God said His people are supposed to gather together, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. But aren't we thankful that we have it when you're not able to be here for one reason or another, sickness or whatnot, and sometimes work schedules, and then we can go back and watch it as it's archived as well. So I thank God for the technology that He's given. I thank the Lord for all the people that work up there and a little bit above us in the sound booth, but then the ones that work downstairs in the live stream room as well. And so do so much work that doesn't really ever get noticed. And I just want to say thank God for dedication of His servants that make it available to all of us. And it's such a blessing. So, well, that's my little blurb for thank you for being in church, though, and appreciate the ones who are joining us via live stream as well, and we're thankful that you've gathered around. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The gospel of grace, the battle for grace, the battle for faith, I should say, is shown in this book of Galatians. And as we missed a week or two last week because of just felt led of the Lord to start the way we did. But we get back into this, and this is there's a battle going on then. There's a battle going on now. And that's for the gospel of faith. Faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. And so I want to preach for a little while this message through these verses. What's gotten into you? You ever been asked your grandma or somebody, mamma, what's gotten into you? Well, that's basically what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, is asking these old foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? What got into you? What messed up you? You were starting down a good path, and then you got off that path, and you did some other things. Who hath bewitched you? And he goes on to say, these things have been evidently, openly set forth before you, and then you still messed up. Was crucified among you, set forth, and we know that that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's by faith, through grace, by faith. And so here, though, we have, again, we just set up the platform. There was a group of people that were trying to bring in, after they'd gotten saved, getting saved by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, as the Scripture says, trying to bring in some of those works of the law and mix a little bit back in with those. And so we see that He's going to hammer them again and ask you, you start off good, what's bewitched you? The Holy Spirit is given by faith. Now, nobody in this room would say, well, if you work and you work and you work and you work, then finally God's going to recognize your work and finally impart the Holy Spirit onto you, into you. Doesn't work that way. Well, just like it doesn't work that way at salvation initially, it also doesn't work that way as you continue on in salvation. It doesn't work that you keep up your papers, so to speak, by doing good works. We'll pray and get started. Father, I pray that you bless us in these next 20 minutes. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would have your will and your way. Lord, I don't think the folks would be taught much new. I realize that. But Lord, I pray that you'd hammer down deep in us some of our Pharisaical ways that we all get prone to follow. Hammer down deep in us, dear Lord, this salvation by faith. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would do a great work in our midst, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see, first of all, as we work our way through here, I want you to see these fooled Christians. In verse number 1, the Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? We see some fooled Christians. The religious pull was so hard on these new believers to go back into a little bit of the law. Now, not a whole lot. Not that we totally abandon the beliefs of Christ, but just a little bit of it. After you get saved, then you ought to come right back in and do this. Can I remind you tonight, the law never saved anybody. Remember, we've talked about this. It wasn't like sometimes we naively just simplify it and say, oh, in the Old Testament, you were saved by keeping the law. Because if anybody was saved by keeping the law, they were all lost. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, the Bible says. Old Testament, New Testament, it's one story that runs through. Me and Brother Bob Edwards were mentioning that just in the service or after the service this morning. It's one story all the way through there. So true. We see some fooled Christians, though, and the law never saved anybody. It was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We would not have known the need for grace. We would have not known the need for salvation. We would have not known that we were in trouble. We would have not known that we had a need for anything different than what we currently had it not been the law to smack us right in the face and say, we didn't make the cut. Well, let's say it like this. How many of you in this room, you've gone faster than 70 miles an hour on the interstate? Now, I understand we have got some sanctified individuals because everybody didn't raise their hand. Now, let's be honest in front of everybody. How many have gone a little faster than 70 once in a while on the interstate? There's a few liars still, but most of you have fessed up to it. You know what that sign's for? That sign's to show us how wrong we are. And you know what that police officer's going to use? Brother Scotty, you know what the police officer's going to use? He won't take you back to that sign, but he could take you back to that sign and say, you know what that says up there? But officer. A lot of good excuses have started with, but officer. And that's a hard and fast mark that shows us how bad we miss it. And so that's what the scriptures are. That's one aspect of the law to show how much we needed salvation. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law is also given to control the flesh. It's also given so you have some rules to keep yourself in bounds, but never to get you to heaven. I don't know of anybody in our circles, if we have circles, I don't know of anybody that I fellowship with that thinks that you're saved by your works. But I do know some fellows that will shun another believer or another whole church if their lines of demarcation don't line up exactly with them. They won't say you're not saved, but we won't have any fellowship with you. Meaning if you didn't come to the exact same conclusion that they did about a certain issue, then they don't fellowship. Listen, folks, we need to, as a church, remember that there are things that are so ironclad in this book that you're holding in your lap that there's no way that you can interpret them any other way. But there are some other issues that it gets a little hard to draw the complete and total conclusion of where you ought to be down to a minute detail. And we've got to remember, or we've got to have the ability, rather, to distinguish the difference. Because there's lots of things, for instance, that we do here at our church. We ask the people in our classes and in our choir to dress a certain way because they're representing Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's not me saying that you need to do that in order to be a good Christian, or that you're going to be wrong out there doing it. But I'm the pastor, and so we've continued on. There's been pastors before me as well that have done the same thing. But we ask people to come to a certain level while they're up here doing that, because they're representing the Lord. We want them to look good. We want them to look professional. We want them to look all these ways. But there are folks who would demand, before any fellowship was reached out, that a person behaves in a certain way, or else I won't extend that wand of fellowship to you. Listen, folks, we need to understand that never did we get saved by our works. Never have we kept salvation by our works. No matter whether you live as clean as a houndstooth, like they used to say in West Virginia, doesn't matter if you've lived that clean, you've still never kept your salvation. You didn't get your salvation. You never made yourself a good candidate for salvation by living a certain way. The only thing that the law does, or not the only thing, but one of the things the law does, is show us our need for salvation. And then it puts guidelines about our living so that keeps us and our families in a better way. For instance, let's look at the Old Testament law. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You could not commit adultery all your live long life and still not get to heaven. But if you take and compare the New Testament, what it says about a man looketh on a woman to lust, committeth adultery already in his heart, we see that shows men they're depraved, their condition. But not only does the law show a person their need for salvation, but that also helps your families, because if a man or woman would not commit adultery, how many of you think that a family would be better off if those people don't commit adultery? It keeps homes together. It keeps children happy. It does all these things. And so the law not only brings us to Christ, but then it also helps us live in a certain way that provides some family stability. But I want you to see not only the fooled Christians in verse number 1, but I want you to look down at verse number 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I'm going to label this section of Scripture Payment Book Christianity, because I want to tell you how a lot of people in the churches that I grew up around, not the one I grew up in, Dad started a church much like this. But many of the churches around me would have had what we're labeling tonight payment book Christianity. You remember the payment books? I mean, a lot of people have car payments, but they don't always do it like they used to. They used to be that you got a book that had 36 payments in it, 36 stubs, or the stub stayed and the other part you pulled off and mailed it into your bank or dropped it off to your bank, or 48 or 52 or 50, whatever, however many it had. And so they had that payment book. So every month you pulled one out, pulled it off, and sent it in with your check or dropped it off. And so when you got closer, you used to have a stack like that, and it got down, 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 and you only got one or two, three more payments, and it's mine. There's many folks in the churches I grew up around that implied, if not flat out preached, a payment book salvation. I bought a 1974 Volkswagen Bug, and I had 12 payments of $90. It was $1,000 total. The other part was just whatever, her interest and all. And so I had 12 payments, and it lasted 1 month, and I wrecked it and totaled it. Boy, oh boy, I think it warped me for all of my life. We know what those payment books are, but back to the churches, many of which in my home state seem to imply or flat out preach that salvation is something like this. Christ saves you. That's the down payment. And then your lifestyle from there on is the payment book that you tear off day by day, week by week, year by year. And as long as you keep up on the payments, your salvation is maintained. Now, that's not officially how they say, but that's the implication that's given, that you need to hold fast to the end, that's what they would claim, and that you need to be strong all the way to the end. And if you're faithful to the end, then salvation that was purchased by Christ back there and got you when you got saved would be yours. Now, that sounds good to a logical mind, because if I were creating the scenario, I would want something on the return on my investment if I were the Lord. But the only thing is, it's just not biblical. Because that salvation, when you got it, was all of Christ and none of you.
Amen.
So I couldn't pay for it at that point of salvation. I couldn't conjure it up. I couldn't work it up. I couldn't pray it down. I couldn't do anything. I just had to receive the work of grace of God and faith in my, by faith in my life. So if I couldn't get it then, what would me sending a monthly payment stub in this case, living a fairly good life, how would that help me maintain what I couldn't obtain to begin with? And so I think that many folks at home would have that mentality that you've got to keep it up. Why does that rub us so wrong? I tell you why it rubs us so wrong. Because we've watched people who got religion, so to speak, and then we've watched them veer way off the path, and then somebody says, well, once saved, always saved, and that turns us against that eternal salvation. Or the thoughts of, wow, you can just, because people have told me, well, you believe the way you believe, somebody gets saved, they just live however they want. They could just go and kill somebody. And I said, well, I've never wanted to do those things since the Lord saved me. I've wanted to live for Him. Oh, I certainly haven't. None of you have either, all the time. But I've wanted to please Him. I've wanted to live for Him. So we can preach it both ways. Preach both sides of it. We can preach that eternal salvation that the Lord worked in your life is just that eternal salvation. But we can also preach the other side of that to say, bless God, us Christians, we need to live in a certain way because that's the way the Bible says we're supposed to live. But one is not dependent on the other. Because my friend, as the pastor of this church, if my salvation now, not back then when I got saved years ago, but if my salvation now is dependent on how I'm living this week, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. I wasn't able to purchase it, and I'm also not able to maintain it. It was a work of grace then. It's a work of grace now. So what the apostle was asking the Galatians, he says, having begun in the Spirit, verse number 3, are you now made perfect or complete? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And of course, the obvious answer is no. I want to move on to the last point and look at verse number 5. I want to show you the validity of the apostle. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit, the apostle was in the Spirit walking with the Lord, he therefore that ministering, then he is the apostle Paul. Some people question his apostleship because he didn't see the Lord at the beginning. He did on the road to Damascus, and Paul had the sign gifts. It says here, he worketh miracles among you. But what the apostle is saying under the inspiration of God is he says, doeth it he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the obvious deduction from all the rest there in the passage is by the work of faith. Paul came not as a Pharisee preaching to do just exactly what I do in the law, and the law can obtain salvation, but instead he was an apostle preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And him alone. You know that the apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, the apostle to the Jews. And so we see the validity here of the apostle. But even in his validity, he's showing that what he's done has not been a job by, or not been a job that's been done by works, but instead it's a job that's been done by faith. And so hence again, we come back to the idea that this is the gospel of faith. I want to give you 3 takeaways as we look at the end of the night tonight and show you this. Out of those 3 points, basically, but if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Number 1, I want to show you this. Anybody can be fooled. Oh, foolish Galatians. You did a good job. You started out well. Anybody can be fooled. These were legitimate Christians who got fooled. How do we know they're legitimate? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth. He's been set forth before you. You walked having begun in the Spirit, verse number 3. So these were people who were saved, and they were people who had the Spirit of God within them, but yet they were deceived. Can we take a break on criticizing everybody who gets fooled sometimes? It's easy for us to get pulled into sometimes even false doctrine. All of us, we have to get sometimes step back and say, wait, what was I thinking? And what we don't need is a Christian to come by and say, shame on you for even buying into that. I think that all of us have had some times in our lives where we got snookered, we got took in on something. Maybe it wasn't a spiritual matter, but maybe it was some physical thing. My dad was ready here a few years ago to go to Kroger and get a certified check to send us or drop off or send to somebody because somebody had called him and said, you've got some earnings or some winnings or some thing has come your way. All we need is. I told Amy I had to call somebody the other day about some issue, and they said, well, we need your credit card to all it's going to do is authorize the activation fee for this one thing that you're going to get. I said, well, I didn't buy anything. I don't want to buy anything. Why would you need my credit card? Well, that's just what it is. So I didn't thank the Lord because I would like to keep my identity and I like to keep everything I've got on out there in the, out of the wrong hands. But all of us can get pulled into a scam. And that's exactly what some of these false preachers are. Whether some of them do it ignorantly and some of them do it intentionally, but they're scamming sometimes the people of God. And that's what was happening here. Anybody can get fooled. You know why we don't like to admit that? P-R-I-D-E. Isn't it a blow to our ego that we fell for something? Well, just like it's a blow to our ego that we fell for some scam artist that called us and said, all we do need to do is your routing number. Because when I was calling that one particular company, if they didn't have my credit card number, they said, well, you can just give me your routing number. So, well, I don't want to give you that for the same reason I didn't give you the other. But when we do get pulled in, and good people have, obviously, most likely people in this room, we have gotten pulled into some scam. Well, the reason we don't like to admit that is pride. Well, the same reason we don't want to admit that we wrongly interpreted or bought into a wrong interpretation of a scripture is spiritual pride. But my friend, when you find that you're wrong, and if you were the Galatians and the Apostle Paul called you on it, I hope that your reaction would be, whoa, what was I thinking? Let me do right. Number one, any of us can get fooled. Number two, your greatest events happen by faith, not by works. The Spirit is mentioned three times here in these first few verses. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit that did this and did this and He did this in our lives. And the Spirit of the Lord is the evidence of conversion. And we don't receive the Spirit by the law. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we understand that we get saved by the Spirit of God. And so I'm reminding you that your greatest events, the greatest event in your life, happened by the Spirit, not by works. And you say, why would you say that, Pastor? Because I want to knock the spiritual pride out of all of us. My wife says that spiritual pride is the worst kind of pride there is. You get somebody proud of their accomplishments, they're sometimes annoying. Maybe even they get to an obnoxious stage. But boy, you get somebody proud in the spiritual realm. You get somebody proud of their corner on the market, so to speak, and why they're right and you're wrong. Boy, oh boy, are they hard to get along with. Remember that the greatest thing happening in your life, many of you in this room are married, and that's the second greatest thing, hopefully, that's ever happened to you in your life. You say, second greatest thing, Pastor, it's way down the list somewhere there. Down below that garbage disposal I got one time. Well, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my wife and my salvation. The best thing has ever happened to me. My marriage to Amy is the second best thing. But the greatest thing that ever happened to me is being saved. And that wasn't by the works that I've done. Doesn't that knock a little bit of the spiritual pride out of us? I'm all for accomplishing things. I'm all for reaching out and stretching forth and making it happen, determination and going forward. I'm all for that. But let's not get to ourselves to a place where we're so prideful about anything that God has allowed us to accomplish that we get obnoxious. Because remember, the greatest thing that ever happened to you was you got saved and you can't take credit for it. Number three, the last one is, God's still teaching you. The takeaways for any of us can be fooled. Number two, the greatest event in your life, it was by faith, not works. But then the last one is, God's still teaching you. Look at verse number four. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? God inspired the apostle to write to the Galatians to grow up in faith. You've taken a little bobble. You got off course a little bit. I'm so thankful for many things here, but one of which is I'm thankful that the apostle, God didn't through the apostle write him off, says, okay, give me another batch. Instead, the Lord takes the time to correct them. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And with the intent of getting them back on the path of believing salvations by faith alone. And so I'm so excited that to realize that God was still working on the Galatians even though they'd made mistakes. You say, why are you excited about the Galatians? They're long since dead. Yes, but the way God worked with them is still the same way he works with me. And when you get off track, and when I get off track, and when all God's children get off track from time to time, I understand that God wants us to grow past the mistake. That's what he did with the Galatians. He said, boys, you messed up. You took the gospel message. It was by faith alone. And you took it, and then you made this little concoction of works and faith, and you've got some kind of monstrosity. Now come back from there where you're at and come back to faith alone. You don't need to get saved again. You already got that work. Your doctrine just got a little off. And the Lord patiently wants to pull the Galatians back. And the Lord patiently wants to pull the Buffalo Ridge people back as well. So tonight, I ask you like your grandma did. Who got into you? What's gotten into you? That's what he asked the people there. Who hath bewitched you? Maybe you didn't get off doctrinally. You believed in salvation by grace from the beginning, and still you do today. Well, that's good. Well, there's an application there that you've gotten off base in something. And I'm so thankful that the Lord patiently brings us back to the spot where truth is. And if you don't get back to that spot of truth, I'll tell you most of the reasons, most of the time why we won't. And that is because of our pride. Because after I've done something and said it, I hate to divorce myself from it now. I said it, and then I've got to determine, okay, am I better to stay in my wrong, or am I better to eat my words? How many of you understand those words don't taste so good? But if these people were going to do right, they were going to have to come to the place where they said, thank you, Lord, and thank you for the words of the apostle. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now as we've hopefully learn just a few things, again, to put the nail down deep, that we didn't do anything to get saved. We don't do anything to keep ourselves saved. Lord, the law was there to show us that we need to get saved. Now it's there to show us how we ought to live since we are saved. But Lord, we don't gain righteousness because we live a certain way. We live a certain way because we are saved. It's not that we live a certain way because we want to get saved. And here, Lord, I pray that you would help each of us. Maybe this has been a service where, Lord, you've exposed some spiritual pride in our lives. We've been so proud and haughty about some position that we hold. Lord, if it's a true position, we didn't come up with it anyways. Your truth has been eternal. So, Lord, it still gives us no reason to get proud. And I pray, dear Lord, that we'd be a humble group of people that are going back to the Bible again and again in the matter of faith, salvation by faith, and every other area as well. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I bet that some of us have gotten into this place of spiritual pride where we've been so impressed with ourselves because of a position we came up with. Listen, folks, if that position is not held with grace, the position may be right, but the disposition is certainly wrong. And I pray that God would help us have grace and remember that His leadings are always with grace. As we learn about this, faith that is what brings salvation. And we're not going to keep it any different than the way we received it. Because, Lord, we didn't do anything to obtain it, so we're not going to be able to do anything to maintain it. Help us remember it's by faith. Father, bless us now is our prayer. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies play something through? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you found yourself in that spiritual, prideful position. Oh, it's easy to do. We get so passionate about what we believe, and we've got the right goods, and we're thankful for that, but then we hold them in the wrong way. Can I just let you rejoice with me that God's not done with any of us? He's still working on us, like the little old song goes. As they continue to play, perhaps you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You heard enough by what I'd spoke about to understand that you're not going to work your way. You're not going to fight your way. You're not going to reform your way to heaven. Nobody will get to heaven and say, I deserve to be here. The only way we'll get to heaven is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you slip out and come as they continue to play for just a little while? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. If you're a lady, he would have a lady just deal with you. We'll take all the time you need. Do you need to be saved tonight? Thank you. Hey, look this way. Thank you for being in church tonight. I hope that this got across in a way that, let's just think through this. A person you meet tonight isn't saved. They're not going to get saved by getting reformed, by getting better, by doing good works. We all preach that. The only thing you can do is come to Jesus Christ. Well, if they don't grow at the speed you think they ought to, or I think they ought to, or whoever thinks they ought to, does that somehow invalidate the salvation if they truly got it whenever that was? No, it just means they grew at a different level than you do, or different speed than you do. And I've met so many folks that will criticize to the nth degree that person that's not grown as quickly as you have. Listen, folks, we're going to have to leave those things to the Lord. Amen. Be thankful for where they are. Be a help to them as they go. Frustrating, yes. Do you wish they'd grow faster? Yes. But you can't expect a person to get saved one night and be act right, talk right, dress right, not do wrong, do everything you're supposed to be the next Sunday. And listen, we're all a work in progress. There's not one of you in this room that don't have stuff to work on. I've been watching you. I've seen you. And I've got a lot to work on as well. And who are we to look at somebody else and say, you ought to get up where I am, as if when you get up to where you are, there's nothing left to do. I guarantee you this, when God gets you to the way you want, it's about like some of us when you've sold a house. Amy's told me this on a couple of the two houses we sold in Middle Tennessee. Yeah, now that you're going to fix it up for somebody else. Now you finally painted everything that I wanted painted. Now you finally did all these other things just for somebody else. When you get everything, when God gets everything in your life like He wants it, He'll take you up. until then, let's worry about us and not the others. Thank you for being in church tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come back and lead us in a going home song. Let's sing 444, I've got a mansion. If you get those words back up there, we'll use this as our going home song. And so thankful to have the Snyders with us. Brother David Snyder, thank you for being here. We love Baptist International Missions. I am so impressed with the work, and I'm thankful to have a small little part of it. And I want you to get to know him as he comes through here, and a true friend to our church. And then as you leave out, the kettle corn is back there. If you want to take some and make a donation to the youth ministries, it's wonderful. It's good stuff. I recommend it. I eat it, all those things. So just have a good time. Thank you so much. And don't forget to sign up for Couples Retreat and that ladies event coming up. And we're going to have a great time, both of those. Brother Dan, let's sing and go home.